Hi, my name's Sam Oberding. Some of y'all know me. For you guys that don't know me, I grew up around here in Centralia, Kansas. And anyway, I just wanted to share real quick because Jason, you know, gave me the opportunity just to share my testimony. And I'm gonna try not to cry. I grew up actually going to church here in town at St. Peter Paul. And you know, growing up, I was kind of normal, like most of us grow up. I grew up, I went to church, I believed God existed, that he was real. But, you know, going to church, I kind of realized all the things that I shouldn't do, I'm doing. And all the things I should be doing, I'm not doing. You know, that was the best gist of what I got from it. And when I got into my teen years and you know, around my friends, we all kind of talked about God, but we went to school, we said we believed in God, but, you know, I started getting into drinking, started getting into lying, well, even from a very young age, pornography, football became really my God for a time. And but yet I still went to church every Sunday, and these rampant things were in my life, and I knew it was wrong, but I didn't really see anybody else living any different. You know, I just was like, you know, you kind of read and you're like, well, I didn't really read at all from what I got, though, the Ten Commandments, right? We all knew those, and we all knew we were breaking them, and at least me. And I sat there and just thought, wow. Like, I guess this is Christianity. I remember one time coming back from church just thinking, well, I guess this is the whole point of it. Like, I'm going to be trapped in this endless cycle of, you know, lust and pride and hatred. Because I knew it was wrong, but I couldn't find an escape. And then, you know, Jesus came and, you know, one day he'll forgive me. That was my understanding. So I can keep going on into my sin. And that carried on into my senior or my college years. And after football kind of fell off from my life because I stopped playing, I really got into the partying and the drinking and the women. And it was quite bad. And I lived that way for a long time. And then I had a buddy of mine. He came later to be my buddy. His name's Derek Rempe. Some of you guys might know him. And anyway, he tried to reach out to me at K-State campus and tried to tell me about Jesus. And I was like, yeah, man. I was like, yeah, dude, yeah, I'll come back and talk to you. Nah, I went straight to my dorm and watched South Park or something. It was bad. And I never talked to him again because I knew, you know, just like Jason was saying, I knew he, you know, last week he was talking about, you know, crazy people like Jesus freak, even today. It was just like, I knew he was weird. I was like, you're a religious dude. I don't want anything to do with you. You know, I want to just have my Jesus in my little box, go to church, think I'm okay. I wanted to be comfortable, and I wanted my sin. And then a little bit later, I started really getting numb to all the debauchery and all the things I was living. And I really began to question whether God even existed. Because if he's real, he couldn't have made me for this. I remember the night I was there. I just kicked out a girl from my apartment. And after a night of drinking. And I remember looking up at the ceiling and saying, if God, if you exist, if you're real, this can't be the life you made me for. This is, of course not, you know, I'm living so bad, but I was crying out like, God, there has to be more to life than what I see on television and what these people are teaching me what it is and what I see, because I'm not seeing anybody really living the gospel. I'm not seeing anybody really living. We're all pretty much living the same. And so that kind of was like the spark in me to actually start seeking if there is a God that exists. And I had another buddy of mine, who was actually somebody that Derek Rempe talked to talk to me. So thank you, Derek. And he told me one time we were going to start reading the Bible, and I'd never read the Bible before. but we're going to start. And the first thing he says to me when he comes to my apartment, and he's confronting my life, and he says, "Sam, I need to ask you if you're actually really a Christian." Oh, and that got me, man. I was like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "You're going to tell me?" I'm like, "I've been in church at the time 21 years of my life, man. Don't tell me I don't know God." And anyway, I got mad at him. So I didn't talk to him for a while, but with time, I could tell his life was different. And I started hanging out with him after I got over it. I started meeting people that were really living it. I could really tell their lives were different. And I couldn't grasp what it was. I was just like, I know I need to live the life you're living, but I don't want to. I want to stay in my sin. I want to stay in my pornography. I want to stay in my lying. I want to stay in my pride and I'm a tough guy type thing. But I began to go to these Bible studies with these guys because their lives are just attractive to me. They're different. They have joy. I'm numb. I'm bitter. I'm hardened by life and by my sin. And I start going, and with time, I start kind of playing the double face, like I've always been, the hypocrisy. You know, I'm going to the Bible study. I'm saying I love God, but I'm still living wrong. I'm still living in the darkness. And then this is all like coming to me, all this conviction, all their lives, the lives that I'm seeing these people live, it's really gnawing at me. And one day, I was sitting in a church service, very similar to this one, and we were singing a song, and the song was I Surrender by Hillsong. I don't know if you guys know it, but it's a really good song. And it was brand new at the time when I got saved. You know, it's not that old. It's like 11 years old. And so I'm singing this song, and I start weeping. I hadn't cried in I don't know how long. And I'm crying. I'm crying because I'm getting confronted by God about my life. He's loving me. He's confronting me. And I started realizing I'm not this song I'm singing. I'm not. I'm not surrendered. It says, I want to know you more. No, I don't. In the song. And God's meeting me there. You know, he's loving me. He's trying to show me. He's trying to show me the way. And it was the greatest moment of my life. Because a day before that, had you come up to me and said, "Hey, Sam, you love Jesus?" I'd be like, "Yeah, best friend. Love him." Then I would have made fun of you at the bar with my buddies. Because that's just where I was. God loved me, and he really confronted me. He really was like, "Hey, man, what are you going to choose?" And there I saw my life. It was like a flash. It was like a vision. I pictured it. I knew I'd lose my family would think I was crazy. Why? Because we thought other people that were following Jesus were crazy. You know, I knew I'd lose all my friends. Why? Because no one's following Jesus. And I knew of other stories. I knew of Derek Rimpey. Kind of thought he was kind of like a black sheep over there, you know. And so I knew it. And then I, you know, the sin, the women, the fornication, the sexual immorality, the hatred, the pride. It would all have to go. All these lies I built upon my life. I'd have to give them all up. And I was sitting there, it was the scariest like 3 minutes of my life. I was sitting there shaking. The pastor's like talking about pancakes because it's like the pancake breakfast. But I'm over there like encountering God, man. I'm getting shook. I'm like, ah, you know. And this whole thing, this is my whole life. And I'm afraid to lose it. At the same time, in this quick 5 second vision, I see Jesus nailed to a cross, looking at me, saying, "Forgive him, Father, he knows not what he's doing." And I saw a love so great that blasted through all that stuff, because I realized that he did that for me, a wretched man that deserves nothing but hell, like what Paul Washer was talking about earlier. I deserve damnation, and he was willing to give his life for me. What love. I give him everything. I could either stay where I'm at, go to hell, maybe with all my friends, or maybe I could be the light. Maybe I could receive this grace, be saved, be forgiven, and maybe help one more come to the light of Christ. And so I surrendered my life. I repented that day, and everything changed. Everything changed. When Jesus says you're born again, he really means born again. He changes you from the inside out. And later I was baptized. Beautiful what happened today. I don't know where that guy's at. Amazing. You die. I was later baptized and later received the Holy Spirit. And it was so transforming. And then I start reading the Bible and I come across a verse, passage. You said it last week. Matthew 7:21-23, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. For many will come to me in that day, saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done many great things in your name? And I will declare to you," Jesus said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice sin." And I was like, I read that. I was like, that's me. That was me. I was like, that was my life. You know, I was like, this Bible's speaking to me. 2,000 years later, and he's speaking to me. Because this thing's real, guys. This thing is so real. If Jesus really rose from the dead, which we say we believe, if that's true, everything changes. Everything. And that's what I realized. It's like, what was the point? What was the point? I remember thinking, what's the point of all this? I'm going to get a college degree. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get a house, a car, a wife, and then retire and then die. What? What's the point of this? What's the point of it? Why am I here? Why am I continuing to breathe air upon the earth? Why am I here? And then I realized that through Jesus Christ, I could have a true purpose, a true meaning, that he gives us our identity of what we're supposed to be. It's not in football. It's not in your football stats. Keep your football stats. It's not in whether the Chiefs win or not win. It's not whether how much money you have. It's, do you know Christ? Are you following him? Are your sins really forgiven? And if he really did rise from the grave, if that really happened, then it's on. It's on. Like, we're going to face him, guys. It's real. It's more real than my dad farms. I look outside sometimes. He's like, he's more real than these crops growing. It's more real than my life. Is that I will face God one day. And he will either say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Or he'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in." Man, I pray that we hear that. And I pray that that be our testimony, that we would truly turn from our sins. You know, if you're getting a little convicted right now, I kind of feel it. Maybe some of you are getting convicted. There's two parts in the Bible, in the book of Acts, where it talks about people that were convicted, where the Bible talks about it. It says, cut to the heart. Once in Acts chapter 2 and another time in Acts chapter 7. in Acts chapter 2, the people were cut to the heart, and Peter preaching, responds saying, repent. Believe, they cry out, men and brethren, what can we do? And Peter says, he doesn't say go to church, doesn't say, you know, pray a prayer. He says, repent. If I want to be your guys' friend, if I want to be Jason's friend, and every time I see him, I'm like, yeah, man, I want to be your friend, but then I punch you in the face and take your glasses. You know, it's like, we're not going to have a good relationship. That's not how you have a relationship with somebody. It's the same thing with God. You know, it really is. You know, we see hypocrisy like you guys see hypocrisy. God sees hypocrisy like we do, except more, because he sees everything. Our thoughts, intentions, and our hearts. Be real. Be genuine. Repent. That's what Peter said. Repent, be baptized for the remission of your sins, bury them, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that day, 3,000 people responded, like Pastor was talking about, responded, did something about it, obeyed, and were changed, saved. Another time in Acts chapter 7, Stephen preaches. Maybe some of you guys know this story. It says, they also were cut to the heart when he preached to them. But it says they were cut to the heart and they stopped their ears because they didn't want to listen. And instead of responding to God, instead of repenting, instead of listening to Stephen, they stoned him. Now, I don't think any of you guys will stone me. But don't, what I'm trying to get at is, don't stomp your ears. Listen to what Jason was talking about, being a light. Being changed, being transformed. It's real. It's really real. And I pray that you guys see that today. I pray that I see that even more. And, you know, one last thing. I grew up in this community. And I'm not saying I was looking for the light. I wasn't. I was looking for darkness. You know, I wanted sin. I saw it. And I was like, oh, cool, that's, people are doing that, sweet, I'm doing it, you know? I wanted to do it. But I grew up in a community, I don't know most of you, but I just can't recall really a time that I actually saw a genuine Christian. I just didn't see it. Maybe you were, I didn't see it. And I pray that that changes in this community. I pray that there's a light. I'm not saying we're going to get everybody. Maybe I was, you know, maybe you guys were all preaching the gospel and I wasn't in the, you know, I wasn't around. But man, I pray that changes. And I pray we're challenged to be the light that Jason was talking about today. I really do. Because Jesus pictured this kingdom as a treasure hidden in the field. That if a man, that a man found, and for joy over it, went and sold all he had to buy that field. If we would really see this forgiveness, this grace, this love that Jesus is trying to show us to save us from our sins, oh, we'd sell everything. We'd give it all up to have him. It would be a joy to us, and I pray it's a joy to you, to give up your entire life for the sake of the gospel, for this God who gave his life for you. And you say, Sam, you're pretty intense. You're an intense guy. Well, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I haven't given my life. God's pretty intense about this. He gave, God the Son came and died on a cross, bled, suffered, didn't come in a palace, came in swaddling clothes and in the trough of a manger to save you and me. This is on. This is real. He's really real. He's intense. I'm like probably lukewarm. He's intense. He gave his life for this. He bled and died for it. To save you, it must be something real. There must be something real about your life that he's willing to give up everything, give up his son's life for you. I pray that we see that. Last thing I want to say is, truly I am sorry for those I do know. That I didn't live for God. I claimed to be a Christian, and I wasn't. And I truly am sorry about that, because I hurt a lot of people. I did. And I'm sorry. And I pray you forgive me. And, yeah, Ty, get up here, because I'm sorry. So anyway, I bless you guys, and I really am sorry. But I pray that if you do end up hanging out with me again, that we can be friends, and maybe I could be an encouragement to you and you and me in our walks with Jesus. Now, please come up here, man. Otherwise, I'm going to keep going here. Last thing I wanted to say is, if you guys, after the service, want to respond to what I'm talking about, what Jason was talking about, respond to the gospel, to truly get real with God, to truly genuinely say, man, I really want to follow Jesus. I hear what you're saying, and I want to follow him. Because maybe you were just like me. I sat in the church many years, and I was sitting in seats just like you, and I was so lost. I didn't know it. I didn't know it. I pray that you come and talk to Ty, to Jason, to me. My family's right there, and we're going to be sitting over there. Please come and talk to us. Please, I want to be a friend to you. A friend is not someone that pats you on the back and says, hey, keep going and doing what you're doing. It's okay, totally fine. A friend confronts your life and says, hey, do you really know Jesus? My buddy that I didn't like because he confronted my life, he was a true friend. My other friends that just went and did the things I was doing, the evil I was doing, they weren't really friends. They weren't really my friends. They're not really your friends. So I just wanted to give that opportunity, you know. I talked to Jason about that, so please come talk to Jason, Ty, me, I'll be over there. So anyway, God bless you guys. Thanks for listening.